Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christians aren't the world's only givers, but we do have the best reason for being people of generosity. When people are struck by famine, flood or fire, earthquakes and tsunamis, there are plenty of aid agencies all around the world to which caring people can direct donations so that efforts are made to ease the pain and the suffering of those in need. GoFundMe is an online company that you've probably heard of. They have a website that acts as a clearinghouse for fundraising projects all around the world, especially those that are directed at the needs of one person or a group of people. Here in our city, Loaves and Fishes receives donations of food and funds from many individuals and churches and businesses that provide for those who are in need of food. People give for many reasons, don't they? They feel compassion for those who suffer. They feel good when they share with other people. And in our country, we benefit financially from giving because our tax laws reward us for charitable donations. Paul taught his churches that the ones he served, that they should be generous. In response to a decade-long famine in the Middle East, the apostle, as he went out as a missionary, also organized a relief plan among the congregations that he established in Galatia, Macedonia, and Achaia. He had come to them as Christ's servant, bringing them the good news that Jesus is the Savior of all. Most of the believers in the churches Paul served in Lystra and Philippi and Corinth were Gentiles, converted from pagan faith to trust in Jesus. However, Paul informed them along the way that they had many other brothers and sisters in Christ who lived in Judea and lands where the Christians were people of Jewish descent. They were suffering from this famine. And so wherever Paul went, he encouraged God's people to give freely and generously to help this church in Judea. On his first visit to Corinth, Paul told the church about the need of Christians in Judea. In the closing chapter of his first letter to them, he advised the people to set aside a portion of their income as an offering for the project, promising that he would appoint some of them as representatives to take their offering to Jerusalem. For some reason, though, that project was slow to get off the ground. Today's reading is from Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth. And we still hear him encouraging them to participate in what he calls this act of grace. Sometimes we can be slow to give to others. There are an overwhelming number of opportunities to give donations. The news media keeps us aware of all kinds of situations that cry out for our help. Even stores have gotten into the spirit of generosity. Well, kind of. This, you know, you go and you pay for things and you get either the clerk asks or if you're going through the self-serve part, it comes up this question, would you like to give to this? I guess those are okay, although it's just a little too easy, I think. Makes it a little bit too packaged, this giving. And personally, I kind of like to know who I'm giving to. Most of us also want to have some assurance that what we give will actually be helpful to those who receive it. We know about the scams, both large and small scale, and they make us wary about giving to others. And if we're honest, we should also admit that sometimes we're slow to give because of greed. because of fear that we won't have enough for ourselves, and because of prejudice against those who are in need. To encourage generosity in the Corinthians, Paul did what he did not do what one might have expected. He didn't shame them for their tardiness in gathering this offering for the famine beleaguered church of Judea. Instead, Paul told them about the remarkable joy in giving demonstrated by a group of congregations in the northern province of Macedonia. The Christians of that region were very poor, partly through persecution for their faith, and also possibly through economic pressures that had been placed upon their region by the Roman emperor at that time. Yet when they heard of the need of the Christians of Judea, they amazed Paul and his associates with their response. "For they gave according to their means, as I can testify," writes Paul, "and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints." Have you ever heard a fundraising effort called a favor to those who are being asked to give? And yet that's what the Macedonians saw it as, an opportunity to love. What could account for such an attitude? Well, Paul goes on to explain. "They gave themselves first to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, to us. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." When they heard of the needs of the Christians of Judea, the Macedonians thought not of the little that they had in their poverty, nor were they moved simply by a sense of duty to please Paul. Rather, they considered this relief plan in the light of Jesus and the life that they had received from him. The gospel that the Macedonians trusted in, the gospel in which we trust, had introduced them to the God who so loved all people that he gave his one son to be their savior. In loving obedience to his father's giving, the divine son left the glories of heaven. He set aside his divine powers, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, he received human nature and was born the child Jesus, the Son of Mary. Though true God, Jesus lived as a man within the limits of a creature, and he lived for the sake of others. He died for us all. Paul aptly described the life of our Lord as grace, or gift. His whole life was a gift to save us from sin and death. Christ's life is the life of God coming to humanity, made poor by our ignorance of him, by our unbelief, and by our foolish and stubborn confidence in created things in place of the Creator. God in Christ Jesus came to us, not to damn us, but to make us rich with gifts that only he can give. Jesus has made each one of us rich, forgiving our sins, clothing us in his righteousness, that we can stand before God at peace without fear, filling us with the Holy Spirit, with faith in God's mercy, with love for our neighbors, and with hope of eternal life. Jesus made us rich by making himself poor, becoming a human in the first place, carrying our sins and suffering for them, dying for them. Jesus rose from the dead for us. He lives and showers upon us his grace, the gifts of salvation, riches beyond compare. The Christians of Macedonia knew that they were poor in the things of this world, but they also believed that God had made them rich by giving them his son. They gave with determination and joy for the sake of the saints of Judea because they relied upon the gifts of their Lord more than on the money or possessions they had. These too were his gifts, gifts to be shared, to be used in service, to relieve others' suffering in the name of Jesus. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus, the forgiveness poured out upon us in baptism, declared to us through absolution, and consumed by us as the body, bread, and blood wine of Christ makes us truly rich. Forgiveness from God relieves our consciences, comforts our hearts, fills our mouths with songs of praise to God's goodness, and renews our lives. In Christ, we live not for ourselves, because He lived and died for us. And He lives forever, so that we may always live with Him. Through Him, we live as He did, for the sake of our neighbors, to help them in their needs through the work that we do and through acts of service and generosity. Christ's life is our life to live for each other. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.